Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout.
A movie that takes the worst parts of The Phantom Menace and the CGI skills of a YouTuber circa 2000. We saw Dungeons and Dragons, so you know what that means. In Philadelphia with yet another dragon film. This one, Dungeons and Dragons. It has it all. Dungeons, check. Dragons, check. Plot, question mark. It's normally the part of the show where I like to break down what this movie is about. For those who have not seen it, I tried. I wrote a couple things. I rewound the movie, I read a Wikipedia page, and I don't think I got it, but I'll try. The battle for the soul of Izmir is at stake as Thora Birch wants to let people be equal and control gold dragons, but Jeremy Irons wants to keep the gold dragons and also control red ones. Chaos ensues. That is the plot that I know of this movie. Came out in 2000. It's an hour and 47 minutes. It took 23 years for someone to try this movie again. This was a colossal flop. It is a rough movie saved by one person. Jeremy fucking Irons. Jeremy Irons, who said, I only took this gig for the money and the amount of time I had to be on set, which was not a lot. The rest we will break it down, and I'm going to break it down with my two co-hosts. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas! What's up, jerks? What's up, Philly? How we doing? That's right. I watched this movie in the car on the way here. I don't know what the fuck it was about.
This was a yikes,
T to B.
This was truly one that I could not wrap my head around.
I kept rewinding to be like, I must have missed a very important thing here. And I'm going to be honest, June and I were just speaking backstage. We don't know who most of the people there are.
Poppy.
I don't know who most of those people are, including the guy in the blue sweater.
I will say that looking at that image, I think two of those people are not in this movie. I Googled Dungeons and Dragons without seeing the film. I know they're not from the new one.
Honest to God, who is the guy? I would have remembered a guy with a jewel in the middle of his head.
Not in this film, but if you know, we will come to you
We got it. Because June and I were already deep into this.
Well, don't, no. June Diane Raphael.
Yeah.
Welcome, June.
And you better believe.
Yeah, so Paul, Jason, and I were backstage, and I did also just complete this movie. I mean, we're fresh.
Fresh.
We're fresh.
So am I. I was watching it backstage as well.
Okay.
You're not part of the crew.
And for a second, I thought the guy with the jeweled head was Dumbledore?
Lipstick.
Dumbledore?
Oh.
Dasseldore?
Wait.
Dunkirk?
Yes.
You Dunselman? Thought that that guy might
I
have
I thought that
been
that was one of our main
Damodar.
Dabblegog?
Oh,
Damodar?
If you quizzed me on every character's
These
name,
names.
I know Snails and no one else. Justice for Snails! Let him win! Let him get the girl! Let him get the treasure! Justice for Snails!
Justice for Snails.
I will
Is that
say
what
this.
Your sign says?
R.I.P. Snails.
R.I.P. We stand
so Paul,
a legend.
So, yes. Paul, when you make these slides, when you make these images,
yes.
You're really just, you're just Google image searching and hoping for the best?
Well, most of the time, I am aware, and I had the guy with the purple lips, but it was a low-res shot. Now, I look at it on the big screen.
Can I ask you a quick question about lipstick?
Yeah.
Is that the guy from The Mummy?
No, it is not. He looks like his name is Arnold.
It's close though,
yes.
Right? Very similar look, except with lipstick.
Yes.
So
I kept writing in my notes The Mummy. If I say that again, that's the only reason.
So, Paul, would prefer a high-res image of people who aren't in the movie to a low-res image of the actual characters.
You better believe I would know what this fucking movie was about if there was someone in a tube top in the movie.
Okay, so
I'd be
you
all
can see,
about tube top.
I Googled Dungeons and Dragons, and this is a tricky one because there is another movie called Dungeons and Dragons.
It looks
Honor
better.
Among, yeah, it,
if
well,
it has these two in it.
Well, so I pulled up Dungeons and Dragons, and look, I'm watching these movies with you all. So I pulled it up, and I was like, okay. Well, this is Jeremy Irons. He's in it, and that I know that. And this picture is of this couple here. And I was like, well, they're clearly in it. And now I'm looking.
Wait, I'm curious. Can anybody name what movie these two characters are from?
They look familiar, I will say.
Okay, so that's a no.
It is from the Rotten Tomatoes page for Dungeons & Dragons 2000. So I was correct in that. Maybe they were in a deleted scene.
You really elevated them.
Well, those two people are somewhere cashing checks because of this.
Jason and I were just in the wings, and I was really like, am I having some sort of a medical event?
So yes, I picked the wrong images, but that's just because I don't want to wreck the movie. I'm building assets for this movie months ahead of time, making sure that we bring the best of the best to Philly, and sometimes I make a mistake.
Listen, you are standing in feedback so courageously and vulnerably, and I appreciate it.
I do think, and I don't want to whip this out at the top of the show, this might be from the made-for-TV sequel.
Okay.
Which that's my thought.
Oh.
I am more interested in, I'll be honest.
There's a sequel.
There is a made-for-TV sequel.
A series or a movie?
A movie sequel with none of the characters returning, which is a tough
I'm okay
way.
With that.
Yes. Hard to call it a sequel when you don't bring anyone back.
Nope.
But I will, yeah.
No, I'm just wondering, just so I know where to steer the conversation and just so we can have a little context, have either of you played Dungeons & Dragons?
That was something that really was not offered to me as a child. I understand Dungeons & Dragons. I can speak to it now, but I never played it. I don't think I ever have even as an adult played it, but I understand it.
How do you understand it, June?
I feel like you don't believe him.
I guess I just like you were waiting for it to be offered to you.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people say like, "Oh, yeah, there was
Come
a club that
and...
played Dungeons." No one played Dungeons and Dragons. I did go to Catholic school, so it might have been illegal.
Yeah, it might have been the occult.
You know, I mean, Jason?
I did not. I never played Dungeons & Dragons either. The closest I came was the non-Dungeons & Dragons game that they play on Harmon Quest.
Okay, which yes, is, I did that.
Which is a similar type thing, but obviously very different. It's for a TV show, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So my real only experience is in that. But I, too, have now, as people who've been improvising for 25 years, how many times have you been in a Dungeons & Dragons scene?
It's my greatest fear.
So... Just through context clues, I've picked up a bunch of specifics from Dungeons & Dragons scenes.
Well, I would say, June, we could cut this out if you want, but you would say that your greatest fear improvising was that people would hit you with a Star Wars or Dungeons & Dragons reference right out of the gate.
Yes, and I'd be forced into those scenes. It's kind of why I stopped doing it.
I think you'd make a great Padawan.
Here's the thing.
I don't know whether to be hurt or happy.
This movie opens up with, and I did watch it twice, 45 seconds of exposition over steamy, murky gray.
I would even say the first 45 minutes are exposition. Like, people are in scenes giving full lore dumps and specific dumps that are just like, I felt like this movie was dumping on me the whole time.
I really was. This it was so hard to understand. Like, I went back and watched a few of those dumps, and I was like, what am I missing here? Because so I know nothing about Dungeons & Dragons, but now...
I don't think the movie does either. To be... I mean, even what limited knowledge I have of Dungeons & Dragons... And having seen what I believe to be a very successful version of it, which is this last year's version of Dungeons & Dragons.
I'd love to see that.
Fantastic.
This doesn't seem to be Dungeons & Dragons.
But when you're playing, audience, Dungeons & Dragons...
Oh, should we elect an expert from the audience?
I would really love
to know.
Is there a D&D expert who, if we need help, we can go to you for just unadulterated facts?
Oh, right there. Center, you got it. All right, can you make your way down here just in case? Because... We want to make sure.
Yeah, we need you closer.
Sir, what's your name?
Morgan.
Morgan.
Give it up for Morgan!
Thank you, Morgan. Thank you for identifying
Morgan.
Yourself.
Morgan! 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 Wait a minute. Wasn't the Jonathan Livingston Seagull expert also named Morgan? You know
wow.
that?
Wow.
How many people were at Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Okay.
Wow.
I'm letting Morgan hold the mic because I trust a DM. I trust a Dungeons and Dragons person with the mic. They understand their role.
This is respect. This is respect.
Okay.
So, Morgan, can I ask a question,
Paul? Please.
So, when you're playing, you just said I trust a DM. Is that a dungeon master?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, wow. Okay, nerd.
Okay. All right. So, Morgan, when most people start playing Dungeons & Dragons, are they commoners without magical powers?
No, because that's not very fun to play, and we play for escapism.
So,
Morgan.
So everybody has, like, an archetype, right? Like an elf or a dwarf or a, I don't know, a mage?
Mage.
Yeah, so depending on, like, which year you're talking about for this game, that you're, like, an elf or a dwarf or a human, but you're also, like, a fighting guy or a magic guy or a priest who's also magic and
well,
stuff
now,
like
Morgan,
that.
Well, now, Morgan, I want to ask you a question about this.
Man,
because
priests would really be out of control if they could do magic. These motherfuckers, goddamn. Can you imagine if they could do magic? The magic that they do is getting away with it.
I know I've talked about it a handful of times, but I went to a school with Franciscan brothers, and they would make candy come out from behind our ears and then make us reach
nope.
inside other pockets to get more candy.
Nope. What?
Paul.
No! Lock them up!
Paul.
What are you talking about?
At the time, a Jolly Rancher was worth it.
Here's the deal. I don't think priests should be allowed to buy candy.
If they are allowed, they have to eat it in front of the person they bought it from. Now, Morgan, I will ask this, because this is a thought I had, and this is more of a macro thought about the movie, which is D&D, a campaign, is an ensemble effort. And this movie is really about one person, right? Like, the idea being, like, everybody adds to the adventure. Everyone has something to do. In this movie, many people have nothing to do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, even the people who are in the party are just kind of randomly picked up along the way, whereas it's supposed to be more of a collaborative thing where there's no real star of the show. And
yeah.
And also, like, this fails on both, like, I feel like a D&D, like, everybody's in a group trying to do the thing together. It also fails, it keeps trying to make itself seem as though it's Lord of the Rings. And it fails as a fellowship as well.
And now let me ask you one more question. This is probably the nerdiest question I'll have. Talk to me about dragons in Dungeons & Dragons. Like, what are dragons? I understand
dragons. What are dragons?
But I'm asking this because I think Morgan knows what I'm going for. Like, dragons in this movie seem to be the equivalent of, like, a Mack truck. It's like, we can drive them into things. Like, but in Dungeons & Dragons, dragons are different, right?
Yeah, so this movie definitely went for more of, like, a Game of Thrones feel to their dragons. But, like, in Dungeons & Dragons, their dragons are, like, intelligent creatures. They're very, like, proud and vain, and they have, like, treasure hordes, and some of them are evil and some of them are good, and for some reason the good ones are named after crayons in the box, and the bad ones are crayons in the box and the good
oh,
ones
like
are metallic
red.
Yeah,
it's, oh, and wow. gold. Okay, so okay, this
by the
is
way,
so helpful
killing it, Morgan.
This is
killing.
So helpful. Now can I ask,
love it.
I'm just gonna be yeah, it's just like
we didn't prompt this chant! This is an organic chant!
You know what? You can take out your phones and take a picture of Morgan.
Yes.
Yeah!
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah! Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney. And that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
I'm going to just be brave, Paul, and I'm going to ask a question I have, you know. I didn't feel that there were many dungeons in this movie.
There were a couple, actually. Yeah. Even the first scene, once they get past the swirling mists where they have the weird laboratory, that was essentially a dungeon insofar as... You know,
dungeons go.
Yeah.
I wrote down...
Maybe I don't really know what a dungeon is.
It's below the castle. It's like a basement, a castle
basement.
It's like
the prison. Where they get tossed in prison a couple of times.
That we would be in them more. I felt we were outside a lot.
I felt like the movie literally was like, in the first scene, we will show you dungeon and dragon. And we were like, and now we can move forward.
Until the
end, where there's more dragons. Out of curiosity, Morgan. As a D&D, I'm assuming fan since childhood, ish?
Pretty much.
Did you have feelings on this specific movie when it came out?
Great question, Jason.
Thank you, June!
Yeah, were you excited about it?
I pride myself in my questions.
Yeah, that was a great question.
I'm vain like a dragon.
Oh, Magenta Manzoukas.
Ooh, with my hoard of treasure and gold like Smaug.
Smaug is actually a great example of
Go to hell, Morgan!
Was just going to say, Smaug is a great example of like what D&D dragons are actually like.
Right. Yes.
I did not see this movie as a child, actually, probably because my parents shielded me from it. I wasn't even aware until it was announced for this that this was a movie.
Oh, wow. Okay, there we go.
And how did you feel about it just in general? Do you have thoughts?
It was so bad.
Yeah. Morgan gets it. The rest of you fucking idiots don't.
So we'll let you go, I think. Or
well,
maybe have to pull up another chair.
Do we have a fourth chair?
But when you're a player in the game, could I join as a dragon, or I'd be a thief, or I'd be an elf?
You could join as a dragon at certain tables.
But I'm not welcome everywhere.
Yeah. It's not a default assumption that you can do that. But
let me say this. If you're inviting me to play your D&D game, I better be able to be a goddamn dragon.
If you want to play my D&D game, you can be a goddamn dragon.
I'm in.
Wow.
Wow. I don't think I can, though.
Here's what I'm going to say. I want to let Morgan get back to his seat. Where is your seat, Morgan? Are you far away?
Middle.
Can we let Morgan take the mic with him but kill the sound? In case we need him to pipe up, he can stay at his chair.
Yeah, all right.
Take the mic.
You can do it.
Wow, okay. Thank you, Morgan.
Give it up for Morgan, a Philadelphia hero.
Good.
Fuck Morgan. The Eagles, long live Morgan.
All right, so Morgan has set us straight that we don't need to really know Dungeons & Dragons. This movie makes no sense on its own. So what I will say is this. Amazing. Because the movie opens with Jeremy Irons shot out of a cannon. I want to just go to clip two. This is right when it starts. He's giving a 10 plus, and he hasn't even said a word.
He doesn't know another way.
Oh.
He's doing it with his eyes.
Jeremy Irons is unhinged in this movie. And I was here for every second of it.
Yes, me too.
Check out clip two. Just a little clip of how we introduce Jeremy. Wow. And just so you know, he's not acting against a real dragon. That's all CGI.
What?
This movie did, other than Jeremy Irons, the aforementioned Jeremy Irons, did nobody any favors.
I would argue.
Even the leader of the Crimson Guard, what are they? I can't remember what they're
Crimson
called.
Crimson Guard.
Lipstick. You've got this big, imposing guy, and they're giving him, like, metallic lipstick that just, like, radiates. It's like, I was like, you're really hurting his performance right now.
I thought he was amazing, actually.
Oh, yes?
I did. I thought that his portrayal of the parasite entering his body and leaving it was...
The earworm. Which, by the way, why did they even need an earworm for him? Because he was already doing the work. It didn't seem like he was doing anything not... Like, he was on target.
You're right. I thought, because he says a few times during the movie that he actually doesn't want Thora Birch to... Like, he doesn't disagree with her thesis that everybody's equal. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a great turn for Blue Lipstick, where we're going to see that he sides with her at one point. But he never does. he never does. He gets the parasite out and then just continues to want to kill her.
There is something interesting about Thora Birch, which I don't know. I believe that The Phantom Menace came out in 1999. And this movie does feel like she is doing an impression of Princess Amidala from that movie. Like, she's always in front of a Senate. Like, that's the most fun of Dungeons and Dragons, like an appeal to all the governors of this area. And I swear
the
to
council?
God, one of those guys had a Philly accent. One guy was like, you got the consequences of your actions there. And I can't do a great Philly accent, but there was something about it. I was like, I don't know what era anyone is in, because clearly...
I did hear that one of the council members say, warder.
You could give everybody that water.
Can I just for a brief moment sidetrack us for a second?
Please.
Do I suspect blow your mind?
Okay.
Lipstick.
Yes.
The man in this movie that we just watched all of.
I thought he was wonderful.
Fantastic. Played the devil in Switch from Monday's show in Boston.
What?
He's the devil in the movie Switch. We saw him three nights ago. I just looked it up.
No. No.
He's got long hair.
He had an accent in the other movie.
Who knows? It was really bugging me how familiar he was. I swore it was the guy from The Mummy.
I felt he was familiar, too.
And then I was like, no. And then I just looked it up, and I was like, there was a picture of him in something else with hair, and I was like, wait a minute. And it was Switch from Boston mere nights ago. Our lives are imploding.
There he is.
Wow. Oh, my God. That is him.
And that's a scene that's not even in Switch, but that deleted scene from Switch.
You couldn't even be bothered, Paul, to get his photo
Bruce Payne. And how did this get made 2023 tour specific all-star?
This is the Easter eggs that Avril creates for us.
I'm stunned right now.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, this is a wow. I think that's the end of the show.
I don't know that I can go on.
It's time for me to do my cartwheels.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
Sorry to digress, but that really was shocking.
Well, this is what I was thinking, though. This movie is really tonally hard to watch because it's part... And I'll put this loosely, Shakespearean, it's very actory and big and grand. And then the other side is like Disney Channel. Like, to a point where I'm like, this character, the main character, the one that we're following, Ridley, looks like he got his clothes, and I wrote it down, as from Abercrombie & Witch. He's wearing a straight up... He's wearing a straight-up Henley. Him and Marlon Wayans, they literally say at one point, we're the cleaning crew. The cleaning crew? Is that even a thing in... is that even a good excuse? They seem like they might just not be... They're from 2000.
Clearly, yeah. And it's so hard because I kept on trying to, like, ground myself in the plot. And that was a fool's errand.
I was just going to say.
It was really...
It's quicksand, it's just like Snails happens
just like
into.
That quicksand carpet.
I felt like Snails goes into like a pizza. Like I was like, is it oatmeal? Is it pizza? He just... And then I started to
I would love it if Snails opened a pizza place and the box cover was him like getting sucked into a pizza.
I also think that Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, which I love, pokes fun at this movie by doing a lot of the things that this movie does way better. Like, someone falls into the floor. They say Honor Among Thieves. There are a handful of big similarities between these two movies, and it's almost like,
interesting.
We got this. Like, we'll show you how to make someone fall into a floor. Morgan, is falling into a floor a big Dungeons & Dragons trope?
Yeah, it is. Usually it's like a pit trap of some kind. I think they were going for a mimic there. The carpet was actually a monster pretending to be a carpet, which they usually pretend to be treasure chests. It's a whole
thing.
That
would be cool.
I like that. Thank you, Morgan.
Oh, can I have a follow-up with Morgan? Is Honor Among Thieves a D&D thing?
Not really.
Thank you, Morgan.
And I would argue that Honor Among Thieves is something that is said... But no one respects. So it does feel like the one true thing is that there is no honor among anyone. I mean, and what is the plot of this movie?
Well, so I struggled. And I did watch the scene where there was some sort of an explanation. I watched it two times because I was like, June, you gotta listen to this. As hard as it is. And it seemed like... So Jeremy Irons wants to dethrone the Empress because she wants...
Use their names, Jim.
I can't.
Yes. Jeremy Irons is trying to January 6th with the council and get rid of the Empress, Thora Birch.
Yes, because she believes that magicians and...
Common people
are the same.
Right.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, at the end, the most, like, the basest writing of all time, all people are equal.
What I couldn't quite get clear on, like Marina, the character Marina does say at one point that she's an aristocrat. So I'm like, oh, mages are aristocrats. I couldn't quite get clear on what they had that the others didn't have.
And also, I couldn't understand, similarly, it seemed as though Izmir, where Thora Birch is the empress and Jeremy Irons is, I don't know what his position is.
He's a mage.
I know he's a mage, but I don't know if he's like her.
He seems like big mage, like big mage energy over there.
Yeah.
Like he's...
But I mean, like, he's also he seems to have some sort of role in the council. He gets to speak to the council.
He's Dumbledore. I think he runs the magic school.
Oh.
Because I think that in the beginning...
Jeremy Irons? No. Morgan?
So what sets the aristocrats apart? In D&D, you go to school to learn magic. Okay. So it's essentially like the equivalent of going to an Ivy League school. If it, instead of giving it you massive economic advantages, it gave you fireball powers.
Got it. So
okay.
Is Jeremy Irons, in your eye, like the kingdom's main magician?
Because now we
magician?
Are asking Morgan to be an expert on the movie, which we all saw.
Morgan, why? What happened to snails? I'm just kidding. But what I was confused. I was genuinely confused by Thora Birch seems to be the Empress of Izmir, and they live in the city or the capital city or whatever. There's a magic school, and that's where Jeremy Irons and Lipstick are, and that's where Snails and Ridley break in, and Marina is in there with the guy, and she gets the map, and blah, blah, blah. But then they go to all these other places. They go to, like, the Elven world. They go to all these other worlds. Is that still Izmir? Is that still the... Or are these other kingdoms?
Morgan?
Morgan is going to be easily 80% of this show. Once we cut everything else out.
Morgan, what's your sense of that?
My take is that the like Elven kingdoms are like in Izmir, but not necessarily in the same physical space. There's a lot of stuff with like alternate dimensions in D&D, and I think they were kind of trying to do that, but badly.
Right, because they're time hopping. They're going through different things. That
makes
sense.
There's portals. Boy, did I want Marina. Nobody seemed to use any of their special skills at all.
No.
Right? Marina.
As a matter of fact.
Marina has the ability. She has a pouch with stuff in it seems like. Right. But she uses it twice. Like, use your magic.
No. And then she's a freshman. Like, if you're going to open up a portal, like, close it. Close it before the rest of them get in.
Yeah, you
Blue
can't
Lips
keep a portal
in.
Open.
And no. If I'm that dwarf, the dwarf joins for like only because they wake him up.
Okay.
And he's like, I guess I'll roll with you guys.
First of all, that scene is so crazy. It seems like there is a sign on a sewer grate that says no dwarfs allowed. So he jumps, like, I guess it's a non-dwarf sewer. So they go into a sewer.
Which, wait, just to back up a brief moment, that means everybody else is allowed into the sewer? Like, what is that? Like, what? I don't even understand on a level of, like, who wants to? Everybody wants to go in the sewer, but they're like, we got to keep the dwarves out.
Well, by the way, not to... I'm...
Yeah, careful, Paul. Be careful. Yes.
I'm careful to not say the wrong thing, but I will say this. The dwarf seemed of equal height to
okay,
the rest
so
of
I
the
thought
character.
This. I thought this, and I will say this. Before the dwarf, quote unquote, the alleged dwarf, arrived on screen, I had already had the thought, these actors are very small. And once I saw that dwarf, I thought, no. Either they're all dwarfs,
do you think the scene where they're walking through the marketplace and Marlon Wayans Snails is stealing stuff from the stalls was improvised?
Yes.
That he was just grabbing stuff and putting boots on his head and all the rest.
The director was so frustrated with Marlon Wayans in this movie.
What?
Was it because of all his screaming?
Well,
there was a lot of high-pitched screaming he was doing.
So Marlon Wayans, fun fact, was shooting Requiem for a Dream at the same time.
There couldn't be a more disparate ends of the spectrum than Requiem for a Dream and this movie.
So
this one did have ass to ass in it too, though.
What happened in this movie was the director was a producer who couldn't find a director. So he's like, I'll direct it. And I think it's his first and only film. And he got so frustrated with Marlon Wayans, they said, look, I'll give you 3 ad libs if you just do the line right one time. And that was their agreement.
That's a great deal.
And it felt like they used a lot of the ad libs.
I think they did.
Yeah, felt like it, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think it worked out.
I've had
out.
That deal.
Yeah. But that scene, there's a scene actually at the end, too, where Ridley says, hey, pick on someone your own size. And that's when I really noticed it. I was like, they're all the same size.
They're all the same size.
He's picking on, he's average height too. They're all average height.
That's what I'm saying. They're either all dwarves or none of them are dwarves.
Well, this is the problem with the new woke Snow White. I'm just kidding. Do you think that the shooting schedule for Marlon Wayans on Requiem for a Dream is why he was killed and is then not in the rest of the movie?
I have a
And the only way they can insinuate that he is still alive is a glowing stone at the end.
And
like, that's got to be
was
because
that,
he had other he had a conflict or something. Like, it made no, he's the only character who dies.
And it makes no sense. It's like you kill a main character midway through the film.
Yeah, it was early.
And
in a way that was not to save everybody, not a sacrifice, not worth it at all.
Nope.
Well, he did throw the scroll.
He threw it. He threw the scroll, not even to them, like 2 feet in front of him. Arguably, lipstick is closer to the scroll than anybody else's. Everybody, if you get a magic scroll, immediately get a bunch of fakes. This movie needed fake scrolls more than anything else.
Well, but by
like
the way,
here's your scroll.
I will say this though too, that weird, like, so Marlon Wayans watches his 2 friends get sucked into a map. Then he's like, well, let me go flirt with this girl for a bit. Yeah. Like, there is no,
then,
oh fuck.
Then lipstick,
I got friends trapped in a map.
Yeah, lipstick and the Crimson Guard show up, and the dwarf is like, "Come on, you don't have time for flirting or whatever he says." And Marlon Wayans looks annoyed. But meanwhile, like, the big bad is right there.
Also, they have escaped down a sewer, and they basically go to like a TGI Fridays of medieval times.
I will say the food looked good. And that might have been because I was very hungry.
I do not want to see anyone eat a turkey or chicken like that. It's
disgusting.
And the way that he ate it, like, oh, the skin.
I have to say, food in beards is to me the most. I'm sorry, Jason.
Careful.
And I will say about Jason, I've never seen a piece of food in your beard. And I don't think I ever will.
Never.
Never.
Of course not.
But I just...
The sometimes it'll happen, like, popcorn in a movie theater. I won't I won't know it's a little piece has gotten in there.
That's okay. In the
But you
veil
also
of darkness.
Eat popcorn like this.
Yes. Or like this.
There is nothing more upsetting than chicken and a beard. And that was there was just so much of it. It was tough.
It also just felt like he was not even trying to hit his mouth. It was like his energy was like, I'm going to eat this in the most disgusting way possible.
I felt like he was using that beard like it was a plate. Like, I'll just leave it here and then I'll come back for seconds on my beard.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes, my family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
I felt like when Marina and Ridley went into the scroll, they came out with knowledge that we hadn't been privy to.
Crazy to not see that scene. Why would we have seen that scene?
There must have been a scroll world scene that was not in the movie. Because they came out with more exposition.
It was another dump.
Always exposition with someone not even on camera. It's like, they're far in the distance. Like, and that's why you went over here. The emperor said that. That's why we all believe this. It's like they never get to the face. I will say, though, the best thing, I just checked on it, we got to see a little bit of movie magic. Obviously, we know that Marlon Wayans shooting Requiem for a Dream, but we also see the birth of one of his later films, the 2006 film Little Man, because as he's walking to the girl, he picks up a little man. He goes, out of my way, little man. And I bet you in that moment, he's like, what if I was a little man? A box office goal. There, that's Marlon Wayans. And the cover for Little Man is very disturbing. Marlon Wayans plays a baby that is a jewel thief. He's a little man who's pretending to be a baby. All right, so that was just, you know, again...
But Paul, just to go back to the plot for a second. So Jeremy Irons doesn't want the Empress to give everyone equal
power of the dragons.
Well, yeah, but I think more than that, he doesn't want her to sort of bring equity to this community.
I think he wants the aristocracy, i.e. the mages, to rule above all.
Right, because they believe that anarchy will happen if everyone is equal. But now at the end of the movie, when all the dragons are attacking, I was like, well, it seems like Jeremy Irons is against those dragons, and then Thor Birch released those dragons.
Where were those dragons the whole movie?
Thor Birch has like a first class seat on Dragon Air.
She has, but those aren't the red dragons.
No, the red dragons.
The red dragons are part of the scepter that Ridley gets when he gets into the dragon room of treasure.
Yes. Which, again, I just want to say, the cheapest looking scepter I've ever seen.
I couldn't believe it.
My kids have higher quality Halloween costumes than those scepters.
So, okay, so, but there's a big plot point in the beginning of the movie that they want to get rid of her scepter, the present scepter she has.
They want her to like surrender it because we see him he has a scepter at the beginning. He's trying to control that dragon,
but that
and
scepter
it fails,
work.
Right?
Yes. So everyone, I think, so in this world, dragons
are things to be controlled, and everyone has a scepter, and that's how power is kept. It's like, we can keep this, I think.
But Paul. Okay, yes to all of that. But here's where I, like, fell apart. So they want her to, of her own volition, surrender her own scepter. And it seems she says no. Right.
Yes, at the council meeting, yeah.
At the council meeting. And so then some other person, one of her mentors, tells her to get another scepter.
That's the one that he gets.
But that's where I got really confused.
Yeah.
Why does she need that other scepter?
Well, I think that the other scepter seems to control...
And I'm sorry about all of this. I hate every second of this conversation.
So the scepter that controls the red dragons, right? The old man, who is Marina, who is the magic school's librarian, I think...
She's a young mage. I thought he ran the magic school. She is like a
freshman in magic school.
Okay, great. So she is in magic school.
She was like a work study.
I thought she was the librarian.
I thought she was like
The librarian is the old guy because she only has two tricks.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Okay, so
a couple more years, she's gonna have like four.
He's like, there is a scroll that speaks of a scepter that controls all the red dragons, but beware because it will bring about war, right?
Yes, but this is what I don't understand because his... what he keeps on saying to her, and Morgan, chime in whenever you want, but what he keeps on
saying Morgan's
to
mic
her
up, just in case.
Is that he... That when she gets the red scepter, it's going to somehow reveal Jeremy Irons and what his true intentions are.
Morgan, can you help us with any of this?
I can, yes.
Okay, great.
So first,
thank God.
Put an end to it, Morgan.
I'm just going to say right now, the T-shirt should be "Thank God for Morgan."
I'll buy it.
Done and done.
Dungeons, Dragons, and Morgan.
Go ahead, Morgan.
So the librarian's idea was that if you have this backup scepter, you can give away your other scepter, but still secretly have the power to control a different group of dragons, which is like pretty silly in the context of, you know, weapons of mass destruction and sort of a global stalemate of political power.
Now, did she give up her scepter?
She did not, maybe because she didn't get the backup scepter.
Okay, so what you're saying is, it's like in The Godfather, where they hide a gun in the toilet, right? So he goes, I don't have a gun. Oh, we could trust this guy. Hold on, I gotta go to the bathroom. Gets a gun, aka scepter.
It's exactly like that.
Okay, great.
How come... Morgan, is Jeremy Irons' little CGI winged spy,
which is the second spy because there's another one in that man's head.
Oh, there's a lot of ear stuff going on in this movie. But that little thing, what's that?
It's either an imp or a quasit. It's either a demon or a devil. It was a little unclear to me which.
And it works for Jeremy Irons as a spy or something.
Yeah, they tend to like essentially they're like interns for spellcasters that hope that instead of getting degrees,
paid or unpaid,
they work for experience.
Okay, it's like an impressive.
He's got an answer.
Always does.
Amazing. Wow. All right. I guess my final question is, Jeremy Irons seems to have eyes on the people he wants at all times, from the imp to lipstick, but they are always eluding capture in every way.
Nor do they ever seem to really figure out they're being spied on. They're like, how did you know that?
They just seem to let them do the job and
everybody's
take their
bad.
Stuff.
Everybody's bad at every job they're supposed to be doing. Everybody sucks in this movie.
Man, oh man, you know what? I think now it must be time for me to go in the audience and see if anyone else besides Morgan can help clarify some things out there. Oh, you're in a costume. Tell me what this costume, Dutch boy. Oh, from Geostorm. Oh my gosh.
Geostorm!
A beautiful Geostorm costume. All right, a great costume. Both of them. All right, your name and your question.
My name is Ashley, and what was the giant floating eyeball monster?
Yeah, it's a big giant blob. Morgan?
It's called a beholder. It's like a classic D&D monster. It shoots like...
Classic. Right.
Boy, we really nailed it with you, Morgan. Okay. Holy shit, this show would be an unmitigated disaster without Morgan, and that is real.
All right, I have a gentleman in a Dungeons & Dragons, or at least a dragon shirt. And he's got Dungeons & Dragons Crocs. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Your name, you said you had an observation, or you could do whatever you'd like.
It's Mansion Hope. Hey, everybody, I'm terrified. I'm Ed. I was going to say my job would probably be, like, eating horse shit.
Morgan, is that a profession you can have?
Ed... If you get paid to do what you love, then it's not a job. Sorry, okay. Morgan.
I tried to do a deep dive because all these like weird creatures, like none of those were actually people or characters in D&D
in
second edition.
Well,
except
for the one that Morgan said was
all these like background, like Star Wars-y kind of like weird people in face paint. The purple guy with the third eye, I was hoping to try to get an idea that the novelization of the movie, though, is just as opaque. And I just want everybody to know that, like, don't try to dig into that. It's not worth it.
Wait,
I love that.
How many people here read the novelization of this movie? Holy shit, Ed. Impressive stuff for a
shit
eater.
I love that, Ed.
Do not worry. I will not be looking into this any further.
Paul, be careful.
Okay, I'm gonna go over here for a second. Oh my gosh, a baby. Okay, oh my gosh. Well,
What do you mean?
There's a baby.
I see it. There's a baby right at the bed. Oh my God. How old's
the baby? Didn't have a question. I'll come back over there. All right, so I need to explain this properly.
Holy shit, what is that? Can we
snails?
Get more, is there more lights? Is there more, I need to, oh boy, wow.
He is snails.
The rocks?
The rocks.
He's the grave.
He's snail's he's grave.
The grave of snails. Holy shit.
This is iconic. Get a flash on, for God's
elevated.
Sake.
Elevated.
All right, so you're in a snail's costume. This is awesome. I love it. What's your name?
My name is Adam.
And what's your question?
My question would be, I don't know if you're going to get to it.
This is it.
Yeah, but we're here.
Ooh, seven potter.
We are getting to it. It's happening now, Adam.
I'm a rock. Are they dead at the end?
Did he say I'm a rock?
This is a great question. He did say I'm a rock. He asked, are they dead at the end? Which was a question that I thought too, because Snails is dead. But then he's like, I'm going to take you to where I am, which seems to be death.
Well, there seems to be some sort of like his name goes off of the rock, so and the dragon eye starts to glow, and just when Ridley's about to say like, can I have an exposition dump for what's going on? The elf is like, no, shh, shh, no,
it's almost over, get out,
you'll ruin it. Now, so don't. We're all just gonna disappear. The movie's done.
Okay, you came over. I feel the energy that you have a good question.
I have been only thinking about this for the last 2 days.
Okay.
My name is August.
Okay.
I work here, so I would be a commoner.
Okay.
And my question is, when Lipstick is right before he's about to mind meld with Marina, do you think he was actually going to have a redemption arc, or do you think he was trying to manipulate her into giving him the answers and she either failed or won in terms of interpretation?
I don't know. What I mean? That's the lipstick
this,
remains.
It might have significance. This film might have a little bit of depth.
I love it. Attack it.
Doesn't.
It's so hard now looking back at lipstick because I.
How do you get up to
I really believed that his character, we spent so much time with him on the screen that I thought for sure there's going to be some moment where we get that turn and we're going to really land the plane with Lipstick.
Yeah.
And I felt connected to him, but I think maybe that's because we had just seen him in another movie,
yeah,
Jason.
I also was like, oh, I really wanted Lipstick to have a moment where he turned on Jeremy Irons.
Me too.
And he was like, no, I won't be manipulated. I won't have your ear-based parasite living inside of my head.
Yep.
But how's the baby doing? Honest to God, Morgan, I would kill you for that baby.
Understood.
I would kill everybody in this room for the baby. And then I would raise the baby as my own.
This theater is so complicated to get around.
Please be careful up there, Paul.
Be careful.
The true balcony now.
It really is.
What's up? I'm in the back row of the top balcony. I only ask this every now and then when I use... I hope you don't get insulted by this. How old are you?
14 years young.
Yeah!
Great. You are 2 years older than the show. Or maybe 1 year. I don't know.
One year older than the show.
Okay. What is your name and your question?
My name is Finn. I'm usually the dungeon master. But,
Awesome.
All right. So, Finn, first question. How's Morgan doing?
I don't know what that means, but I'm so happy.
How is Morgan doing as another person who knows Dungeons & Dragons? Wow.
We love Morgan. He's doing fantastic.
Wow!
He is great.
Finn.
Okay, so yeah. during the scene where, Ripley or whatever his name is, he, like, comes out of the dungeon.
How much better would this movie be if Sigourney Weaver as Ripley was instead in the lead role? Sorry, go ahead.
When he comes out of, like, the cave with the Party City staff, Lipstick guy's like, I'll let her go if you give me the staff. And he's like, fine. And then Lipstick guy lets her go for a second. And he's like, you promise. And he's like, I lied. It was like the weirdest thing. It feels like...
I don't know. You're saying this movie doesn't make much sense.
Thank you, I am. But I don't know if Lipstick Guy has any like moral compass or whatever, but that was the most 8-year-old way of putting it, where it's like, actually, I didn't.
And that's coming from a 14-year-old.
That's true. All right, how do I get...
This kid gets
I get
it.
Over there? You're in
but
a
But I would
costume.
Still kill him for the baby.
I don't know how I'm going to get over to you. It seems deadly. Let me try if I...
Paul, don't be careful.
All right,
careful
thank you,
careful
everybody.
Careful near the edge.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. All right, thank you. So sorry.
The balcony is very high up, I will say.
All right, welcome.
Hey. It scares me from where we are. By the way, now that Full House lights are up, gorgeous theater, Philly. Gorgeous theater.
Love this theater. Okay. Hi, how are you? Your name and your question.
My name is Adelaide, and my friends and I watched it earlier, and we gave an ungodly amount of time to the consideration of the breastplate. And, like, did it look like aroused breasts with no nipples going on, like the kind of situation, right? And then, also, how much better would the movie have been if the two lead characters had come from the year 2000?
That would be amazing, right? They would be like a Connecticut Yankee King Arthur's court, like that kind of a vibe.
Exactly. You get me. Yeah.
So, I mean, look, they definitely acted like that.
Just to address the breastplate for a second. And I it was strange because I thought about it a lot too.
Oh.
Thought about it a lot
I haven't
too.
Stopped thinking about it, and I'm going to think about it a lot in the hotel later.
So I had the same questions, which were, is the breastplate preparing for boobs that are always erect? Or are those just where are they customized per person? Or is that just like your standard breastplate?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I wonder if the armor is bespoke for each warrior. And in which case, how do I become the person that makes that armor? Or at least does the measurements?
All right, I have a question here, another back row question, a standing room question. All right, you ready? All right, your name, your question, what do you got?
I'm Rachel. I'd hope to be an elf. Marina very clearly has glasses on in the library scene and then loses them in the kerfuffle of, like, exiting that space and then seemingly just doesn't need glasses for the rest of the film. And I was really, like, confused about this.
So much so that her wanted poster doesn't even have the glasses on it. And most people would recognize her as someone who would have glasses on. Like, if you were to draw, also... terrible drawing of somebody.
I think that at once in the first scene, she's a nerdy, she's in the library, and then she takes her glasses off, lets her hair down, and is beautiful and gorgeous for the rest of the movie, a la She's All That.
And that hair comes down so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And it stays down.
Oh, yeah. It's like va, 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 boom.
Okay.
Get her a breastplate. Everybody gets a breastplate.
It is one of my favorite tropes in movies in general that, like, we cannot find women attractive if their hair are up.
Yes, it's and they're like, wearing glasses.
It's too much to imagine.
If they're wearing glasses, they're fucking gross.
Yes.
Now, June,
what?
I will say to you, I love you with your hair up and I love you with glasses on.
I know you do. He does.
I do. All right, I hope this question can conservatively take a 10-minute long answer because that's what was just presented to me as far as how to get back down. So when I just asked for directions, it was like, okay, go down the brown stairs, make a left, but don't make a right because then you go over here. But they have
the
elevator.
The brown stairs.
I don't think we'll see you again, Paul. Yeah. Like maybe you do. You,
your name
you say good night.
I feel like the brown stairs definitely go to the bathroom.
Your name?
My name is Mark, and I would be a trap rug weaver.
Ooh, a trap rug weaver. Okay, and your question?
I have a question for Morgan, unfortunately. Okay, great.
Wow.
Fortunately.
So when the party goes to heal Ridley with Elf Doctor Who, he explains that dragons are related to magic in some incredibly convoluted way. So
dragons are magic.
Morgan, are dragons a natural resource?
Great question from Morgan. I'm gone.
Whoa, slow down, Paul.
No, sorry.
Okay,
it's that simple. Wow.
Morgan, no longer.
That answer was. Not long enough to cover Paul's descent.
I do have a question, actually.
Oh, Morgan has a question.
Yeah.
Okay. No. Morgan knows his place.
I know my place.
And yeah. It's amongst you.
Yes.
The baby, though. Ooh, I want the baby on stage so bad. Okay, go ahead, Morgan. What's your question?
Why did Lipstick think he was acting in a credible movie? Because he had a lot of, like, gravitas and pregnant pauses in his delivery, and it was blowing my mind a little bit.
Well, I think that he and Jeremy Irons, especially because they shared so many scenes together, they were going for it.
Yeah, and tonally they were matching each other.
Yes. It was like a Meisner exercise.
Yeah, it was a mirror exercise, but... yeah, you know, I don't know what to say.
Here's what I'll say. I think the only person who can answer that question is you, Morgan.
I know. Turn it back to you. I'm so scared when Morgan's asking us questions.
Oh, I feel really on the spot.
It was just what was in my head while I'm watching every scene with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Just to go back to that gentleman's question before, Morgan, because you gave such a brief answer. Pause back.
And by the way, as you ask this, can we get the people to come on down? And Morgan, we'll have to take your mic in a second. Sorry.
Sorry, Morgan. But just before you take his mic away, I want to ask him one other question.
Paul, we can pull one of these, I bet.
Because okay. I know you said that elves aren't a natural resource, but that really? Moment when they said, we are magic, the mages use magic, and the commoners, I guess... or the thieves yep. don't even think they can have anything to do with it, but the elves actually are magic. Does that resonate with your understanding of this world?
No.
There it is again. Okay.
Made Morgan. Up whole cloth for the movie.
Thank God for Morgan's brevity.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people are like, I've got power now. I'm holding the mic.
All right. Well, here it is, people. Obviously, we have opinions. We have thoughts about this movie. There are people out there with different opinions, different thoughts. It is now time for second opinions.
I do need a little help. I need a little beat. Not too fast, but can I get a stomp, clap, stomp, clap? In West Philadelphia, bored and crazed. On Amazon is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool. Watching some movies and then leaving reviews. When a couple of users, who were frankly wrong, tried to say my favorite movie was a bomb. I read one bad review that said they weren't entertained and thought, you're not giving enough credit to Marlon Wayans. I logged in, cracked my knuckles, and started to type. Made a case for why D&D is more than all right. Published my thoughts and admired my bars. And that's my second opinion as the Prince of Five Stars.
Yes!
What's your name?
My name is Abby.
Thank you,
Abby.
Abby! All right, these are five-star reviews pulled from Amazon. There are 2,590 reviews. 2,590 reviews, 59% are five star. 59% are five star.
Holy shit. Did we blow it?
David writes, title, it's a good movie. Then he writes, I like spending time watching movies with my loved ones, and definitely this is a cool one. Five stars.
Is there any way people were reviewing the 2023 movie?
As a matter of fact, as I'm looking at the dates here, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit. That's amazing. Are any of those reviews, Paul, from 2000?
I have some that were before the movie came out. But this one I'll read regardless of what it was from because it seems to not even make a difference. Michael Emmerich writes, I have what I wanted. Five stars.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
This one, written back in 2022 by Rick McGlargan, says this.
Not a real name.
The title
McGlargan?
Is...
McGlargan? McGlargan.
Of the Philadelphia McGlargans? You know, like, Ricky McGlargs.
I do feel like if you become an adult with that name, you change it.
Or it's it's the bar everyone goes to. I'll meet you at McGlargan's.
So hard to
where
say.
Where everyone forgets your name, McGlargan's.
McGlargan.
McGlargan titles his review, good movie if you like this stuff like I do. The review reads, I'm very into dragon. Magic, knights, fiction, or fantasy, so I liked it. Five stars.
Fair enough.
Why not? I guess. By the way, enough. Why not?
And then
you
this
nailed
one,
it, McGlargan.
This one by Dan Krieg, written in 2013. The title is "I've seen this movie before," and the review goes like this: "I like this kind of movie. I don't know what else to say." I don't know what else to say. Five stars.
Wow.
Wow. To sign on to your Amazon account.
Do you
to
guys,
log in. Yeah. Like, wow.
Do you think that if they had brought Snails' body to the elves, they could have healed him the same way they seemed to be able to heal Ridley?
I was thinking that. Why wouldn't they
Why
do
not?
That?
Why not just heal everybody if you can? They take them all to the Tree City on Kashyyyk and are like, here's the deal. That's a Star Wars reference.
Yep.
I didn't get it.
And seem to be able to heal Ridley from death. Ridley's like, and they're like, we're bringing him back with just hands on a hard body.
Well, here's what I'll say. I also was confused at the end Because
can I just one more thing in that Elven City when they're in the thing and Ridley comes back to life? He and Marina have a makeout.
Yes.
And the little imp is watching like a fucking creep.
I wrote that.
He's creeping on them like hee-hee-hee-hee. Like, I get to watch the... He's like a little perv. Morgan, are there pervs in D&D?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I will say, and not to be too gross about it, but I felt like the angle...
Be gross about it, Paul.
The angle that they shot that little imp, like, you saw his little... Like, it looked like you saw his dick. Like, you saw something...
And you
something
thought it was little. You're saying you thought it was little.
I actually thought it was
like
large.
Because it seemed like a perfectly normal, giant adult dick.
It's
right?
So that's what happens there. What do we think, people? What do we think here?
I mean, I will say this. So I haven't seen the new Dungeons & Dragons movie. And I am excited. This is my overall review. I'm excited to see another Dungeons and Dragons movie, which is the 2023 one. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Oh,
Morgan,
I love it.
Morgan, how did you feel about the recent Dungeons and Dragons movie?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought that it mirrored the structure of a D&D campaign a hell of a lot better than this one did. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a blast. So, yeah. I thought it was fun ride. This movie to me feels like it's not even getting to like Willow levels of interest for me, you know?
All right, so would you recommend this movie? I'm going to go first and say no. I didn't find it to be enjoyable enough. Like, you can definitely watch all the Jeremy Irons scenes on YouTube, and I think that would be fine.
I do, yeah. I mean, it was so... I had a crazy experience watching this because we've been watching these movies during this tour for how many days now? 5?
1,000?
So we are deranged. We are a deranged people. And so I didn't mind watching this in comparison to some of the other films we've seen this week.
How did this get made? Completist? Sure, why not? But I will say, as I have said for many other movies in the past, it is perfectly okay to fast forward through, you know, like I scrubbed a lot of 30 seconds forward, 30 seconds forward when they were just walking between places. There's a lot of like, just like stuff in there. There's a lot of filler. Yeah.
Say this, and this really was hard for me. I didn't know how else to do it, but my audio was not synced with my
video. Neither was mine. Neither was mine.
I complained today about
to
it.
Who?
To Apple, because I think it's an internal issue.
Did you write a review?
And it was so weird.
Had the same issue.
It made the movie 10 times more frustrating. Because you'd hear like, ouch! And then all of a sudden you'd see the thing that happened.
I hope that someone at Apple is like, hey, you know the comedian Paul Scheer? Yeah. So he's like emailing me about the sync on the Dungeons and Dragons movie? Oh, that's a great movie. No, not the recent one. And also,
with our children here and all that was going on today, getting here from New York, like, when did you have time to write that email?
I'm busy. I got a lot of stuff. I do.
Like, we also have received like 300 boxes of horse shit from Philly.
Again, I have to get stuff done. I'll tell you one thing. Just a couple of fun facts about it. Like I mentioned, the guy who directed it was supposed to just produce it. And whenever people say, hey, this movie sucked, he's like, hey, I was just trying to produce it. But you did direct it. The main actor never played Dungeons & Dragons. He goes, I tried to watch some games, but it just felt like people were arguing. So I trusted the script.
I trusted the script. First mistake.
Now, Morgan, you may or may not agree with this or not, but it seems like the director decided to focus... he created a generic setting loosely based on a lesser-known game setting called Mystara, and he felt like if he used anything from the game, it would confuse viewers. He decided to confuse viewers on his own without having anything to relate to. And that's really all. I will say this. The other thing that is interesting about this movie is the budget was $45 million. $45 million.
That can't be true. If it is, somebody needs to do forensic accounting to find out where that money went.
I think it went to all the CGI dragon's blood.
Oh, maybe, you're right. There is CGI nonsense, so maybe that.
Opening weekend, $7 million. Domestic gross, $15 million. The tagline, it's no game.
That's it? Jesus Christ.
No game.
Wow. It's like it's not just a game. It's no game.
It's no game. Now I feel like we normally go and debate what the shirt should be, but really the shirt to me feels like it's just Morgan.
Yeah. And great. Is it
perfect. I'm the Morgan of my group?
I'm the Morgan of my group or Philly's own Morgan?
Morgans and Dragons. Morgans and Dragons in the font of Dungeons and Dragons.
Morgan, are you happy with that?
Can I be riding a dragon in it?
What's that?
Can I be riding a dragon in it?
Oh, Morgan wants to ride a dragon.
Morgan, come close to me for a second. I want to get a picture of you.
Can we get house lights?
I got a picture. All right, let me look at you. All right.
Give it up for Morgan! Stand
you, Morgan.
On your feet for Morgan! Give it up for the baby!
Give it up for Shane, Sam, and June! Thank you, Philly! Thank you, Top Falcon! Thank you, Middlemen! Thank you, Orchestra! Thank you for coming out! Good night, everybody!
That's right! Eat shit, Philly!
What a show! Wow. That was a fun episode. Thank you so much to the staff at the Miller Theater, our amazing tour manager, Beth Thomas, and all of you in Philadelphia who made it such a great time. And I have to give a special thank you to the one and only Morgan, who is the subject of our Morgan and Dragons shirt, which is finally back up for sale on tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. I love this shirt. Get that shirt. We've had two banger shirts between that and Ben Cannon. You can't go wrong with the merch that we're making. Anyway, if you've been wanting to attend one of our live shows and you maybe have been like, well, I can't travel to the States, don't worry. We're coming to Europe. Well, that's really only good if you live in Europe. That's right. We are going to be in Europe for the first time ever. How Did This Get Made is going on a European tour to the UK and Ireland from March 28th to April 3rd, 2024. We will be traveling across the pond to London, Glasgow, Belfast, and Dublin. Tickets are on sale now at hdtgm.com. And once we select the movies for each show, you will find those listed there as well. People, now that we can talk about all the things that we're doing and all the things that we are supporting, I want to just give a huge shout out to the great Lower Decks on Paramount Plus. I love doing that show, and I wasn't able to talk about it throughout the entire season because we were on strike. If you haven't watched it, just jump in. You don't have to know anything about Star Trek. It's just a funny fucking comedy show that happens to take place in the Star Trek universe. Again, Family Switch is on Netflix, was the number one movie in the world. Wow, how about that? And Disturbance in the Force, I think, has a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, or at least the last time I checked, and that is a documentary about the making of the Star Wars holiday special. It's a lot of plugs for sheer, but you know what? I got things to plug. Anyway, heads up, next week I will be taking a last looks off for New Year's. That's right, I take a break. And don't worry, though, because in its place, we will be re-releasing a How Did This Get Made classic episode on the movie Anaconda with guest Michael Ian Black. If you want to find out what our next movie is going to be, make sure to tune into the Anaconda re-release because I will announce our next movie at the top of that episode. So don't worry, we'll still be covering Dungeons & Dragons on a future supersized Last Looks. But that doesn't mean that just because we're not doing it next week, you don't have to send us corrections and omissions. Please do that still. Give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. Write a comment on our Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM. And remember, you can find us everywhere online at HDTGM and make sure to follow us on Threads. And lastly, I got to say thank you to our entire behind-the-scenes team who keeps this show running. I'm talking about our producers, Scott Sonny, Molly Reynolds, and our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, who makes our amazing social media videos. But even more importantly, I have to thank all of you listeners who support this show. And as of last week, How Did This Get Made has been going on for 13 13 years. That's right, 13 years, and we couldn't continue doing this show without such a loving, dedicated fan base and team behind the scenes. Thank you, Earwolf. Thank you, Sirius. Thank you, listeners. We love you all. We appreciate you all. We are so thrilled when you buy a ticket or a t-shirt. Truly, I go into this new year just happy that we've had you for 13 years. Can't wait to continue in year 14. See you in 2024.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.